time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, today in the studio, one of my great friends today, one of the country's top naturalists, educator and author, David Alexander. David, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a fan of the podcast as well as Joey B TV, so it's great to get out there with you in the field and forest and now here in the studio.
You know what? Being in the studio, and hey, you and I know that we'd rather be out in the field, but guess what? The studio is what gets us to talk about the outdoors, so I guess next best thing. Now, David, today it's all about the Essex County Environmental Center. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, there's environmental centers all over the country. The center that I work at is in New Jersey. It's the Essex County Environmental Center. And what we do is we provide access to nature, opportunities for people of all ages to access nature, to enjoy nature, to learn about nature. So primarily the bread and butter at the center is the field trips. So we've got a tremendous amount of school children that come in for a variety of programs that do meet curriculum standards that they're learning about within their classrooms. But the best place to learn about science, the best place to learn about the environment is the environment. So what we do is we provide that direct access to nature through a variety of programs.
Well, you know what, David? And again, I've been up at the center many times, visited you, Tara, and all the beekeepers that we'll talk about and all that. And it is a great place to learn. And as you said this, and to me it's important, it's like, you know, it's one thing to look at something in a textbook, but it's another thing when you're picking up a frog and putting it in a child's hand and you're speaking to them about it.
That's exactly right. And so we're creating a tremendous amount of opportunities, firsts, you know, the first time a child gets to see a frog, catch a frog, touch a frog, and hopefully these lead to seconds and thirds and fourths, right? We want people to have a positive relationship with nature. Sometimes that means, you know, getting out of a city or a suburb where they're spending their time on planned paved surfaces and out into an area that is a bit more wild, whether it's a small area or a big area. We're trying to create an increased number of those opportunities.
And as you spoke about that, and it's getting the first, but here you go. Correct, at the Essex County Environmental Center, you also have programs for adults as well.
Yeah, we sure do. We have a variety of partner groups that do help us provide programming for adults. The center staff does have a number of seasonal programs on our public brochure, but there's also continual programs through our partners, like the Master Gardeners and the Beekeepers and 4-H and Nature Photographers.
Well, you know something, and you mentioned with the beekeepers, and early on in the Joey B TV, Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, we actually filmed up there with Joe Lalinho, one of the beekeepers. And think about this, Joey B, who is allergic to bees, the only thing I really highly allergic to happened to be bees, and I'm out there in a beekeeping suit, and I'll tell you, honeybees are one of the most docile creatures. They're out there, sounds silly, but they're buzzing around. They could care less about you. They land on you. You're not encroaching on their environment. And it was just so neat to be learning from Joe there. And you get to see this every day.
Yeah, it's incredible. The different people, partners that we get to interact with and who do come and visit the center. And, you know, we've got a lot of folks who do come back regularly who want to have these experiences and expand their understanding of the environment. And so, you know, for us to be able to have those bees on the property, that's a tremendous opportunity.
Yes, and this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Yeah. Now, with the Master Gardeners, David, and, you know, obviously I get to film and spend good time with my friend, the other David we know, Inspector Dave, and he's there. And the Master Gardeners, they have some of their programs there. And that's run also, am I correct, through Rutgers or with Rutgers?
Yes, that's right. And there's a Rutgers agricultural agent who works on site as well. So there's opportunities to learn all about gardening, but there's also a helpline. So if you were to have a garden in your own yard, you know, or even just in a pot on your front steps, and you had a question, you're more than welcome to send in a photo or just call the helpline and get free advice from them.
And you know this, sometimes when something is going on, and we'll just talk about garden for a second, something is going on, and many times it could just be the weather, there's extra moisture in your air, and something occurs in your garden that has never happened before. And Inspector Dave speaks about this often, and you have to figure out the solution to a problem, so to speak, on the fly, and having that right there in your backyard. And we have extensions with all the major universities in the country. I'm a Rutgers grad, so I'm happy about that one. But you have all these extensions where they can go get an answer right away, and that's important.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to, you know, have that expert help right there, you know, just on the other end of a phone line.
So, David, at the Environmental Center, what specifically is your role?
So I work there as a senior naturalist, and primarily what I get to do is help create programming that connects people with nature. So some days you can find me leading school groups from pre-kindergarten up through high school for a variety of different environmental topics, usually short introduction inside, and we try to keep most of our time outside. But other days we might be on the water. We just recently had our Labor Day paddle. We took out a number of families out on the Passaic River for the first time. Or another day you might find me doing habitat restoration, pulling out invasive species or planting native species. So there's a variety of job responsibilities that that keeps things fresh. But I'll tell you what, one of the best things about the job is there aren't too many professions where you'll get 25 thank you letters. So you know, when you get to take a group of school kids out, that's really a lot of enjoyment to be able to take a group out on the trail and then be that special guest for the day and get to entertain and educate them using our own backyard, using our local environment.
You know, and you just mentioned that about the thank yous, and I was just going to share an example with you. I spoke at a kindergarten for an Earth Day celebration a few years back, and I am telling you, to this day, one of my favorite things I have ever received were thank you cards, individually colored and drawn. And sometimes you have to look to see if it's a frog or a statue, or you have no clue, but it doesn't matter. That those thank yous just it makes your day.
It sure does. And then you get to see what the kids really picked up on. Sometimes something that you didn't expect was their biggest memory from the end of the program. And so I've learned from that. And ultimately, one of the things that I try to do when I'm leading my programs is I want to what we call make it to the dinner table. You know, whatever it is that the kids did that day, when they get home and their parents ask them, well, you know, how was your day at school? Instead of them just shrugging, I want them to have an exciting story about their own direct access to nature, not something necessarily that I shared with them, but something that they experienced firsthand.
See, to me, that's cool. And, you know, when you speak about it, that is making that lasting impression. If you can get it to the dinner table, then you know that you have made an impression upon that child. And we spoke about before, you said they're first. And now you know there's going to be a second there somewhere along the road. And that's, David, that's what education is all about. Now, do you have any favorite programs that you facilitate? Like, there's got to be something special. Because think about this. You get to play outside. That's anything, but obviously when I say play, it's educating.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a number of different programs that I really enjoy sharing. One in particular is Frog Pond Science. We've got a great fourth grade program we call Frog Pond Science. Yeah, when you take a big group of students out into the forest, out into nature, often that means they're coming out in the middle of the day during school hours when wildlife can be least active. So some of the things that I like to focus on are frogs, because you'll still see at the frog pond, you'll still see the frogs camouflage hiding in the duckweed and the cattails and the lily pads, and that offers a tremendous amount of excitement. And then we look closely at that frog pond ecosystem and see what kind of macroinvertebrates, bugs might be living in the water that the frogs might be eating. So we start talking about the food chain, the food web, and there's so many different educational opportunities that can arise out of that sort of a study. There's also programs like Seasonal Discovery. Our most popular program is a simple seasonal discovery walk where we take the kids out on the trail and we just take a look at what's happening right now. And the truth is, you know, when you're out there often, you get to learn pretty quickly that if you want to see new things, take the same walk you took yesterday, right? Things keep changing. So if you take a walk in the same park, a day later, you might have completely different discoveries. So there's always something to find and look more closely at.
And as you described that one, you know, when I head down to visit my folks and they happen to live at the shore, so when I get that visiting time, being the morning man that I am, I get up every morning. Obviously, I'm up like 4:30 in the morning, and I am at sunrise on the beach taking photos. And every day is a new adventure there. And my father will say to me, if I happen to be down there for 3 or 4 days in a row, my dad will go, you know, don't you get tired of taking the same sunrise? And I'm going, Dad, it is not the same sunrise. And it gets back to what you're talking about, getting that child out on the trail or adult out on the trail and seeing what's different the very next day. And it might just be a garter snake coming by, but hey, I guess I'm like you. That garter snake would make my day.
Yeah, right. That's an exciting discovery. It's the little discoveries like that that sometimes pop up that you don't expect, or sometimes you do. Sometimes, you know, I'll keep a phenology calendar so that I kind of have an idea of what might be coming out next. And what that means is, you know, there's certain predictions we can make based on previous years. So if I take note of seeing that garter snake out on the trail, you know, at this point in the summer, well, I could expect that maybe next summer during the same time I could look for that snake and it might be in the similar area. So we can even make predictions to get an idea as to what we might find.
Hey, and that's a neat thing. And before you were speaking about the frog pond, and I've gone up there and I've taken some great photos of frogs. Like here's one I'm camoed in a duckweed. And if any of you are interested in seeing any of my photos, you can see them on Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter and Flickr and all this. And if you have any questions, you could always tweet me at Joey B. Outdoors. I always do appreciate your comments. And going back to the center now, David. So I know that there's a lot of planning that goes on. What's coming up on your calendar?
Yeah, one of the big events that's coming up is our Fall Fest celebration. And that's an opportunity for families or individuals to come on out. We set up an event that has all of our partners with tables and activities. We try to have far more than just, you know, handing out paper at a table, handing out information. We make sure that it's completely interactive. Every participating organization has some interactive educational display or activity, something that becomes more hands-on. So families love to come out and you know, we'll have a pumpkin carver and we'll have music and we'll have face painting and we'll have canoes out for an opportunity to paddle on the river for a bit. We'll have New Jersey Audubon with birding. We'll have the beekeepers with a live hive on display. So there's so much to see, and it's free entry.
And what I like about it, and I've been up there, it really is two things. Festive looking, you're saying, because everyone always associates the fall with bales of hay and pumpkins, and it's all there. But then it is, I guess the best way of saying it is, it is a great family day. Great for the individual, but if you want to go as a family, and you mentioned free is a good thing, especially if you think about all the costs incurred, you know, when a family goes somewhere to do something, it's educational, it's fun. And the great thing about your environmental center, it is right there on the river. So the river is part of the ecosystem. And like you said, well, we can get out in the canoes, you can head out there. And to me, that's just it's a great place to have your centers right there.
Yeah, and sometimes that'll be a jumping off point for people to get introduced to these different activities and organizations and then get more involved. I'll tell you one more thing I wanted to share about the event. We have on our site, we've got a Native American learning area, a Lenape village we call it, that has a wigwam and other elements that represent what life would have been like when the Lenape Native Americans lived out on the landscape, you know, over 500 years ago. So if you were to come out to that Fall Fest, you would see Mike Dennis of Traditional Earth Skills demonstrating and displaying all sorts of things about Native American life.
And he's great at what he does and the stories and everything. He brings the Native Americans to life, and that's a real cool thing at the center.
It sure is. So kids could even try to crush corn in the mortar and pestle, or try to make fire friction with a hand drill, or throw a corn cob dart. So we get everybody as involved as possible.
So if people want to know about that day or your whole schedule, where do they go? What's the easiest way?
I'd go online to EssexCountyParks.org and follow the links through facilities to the Environmental Center. And you'll find all our flyers, our brochures, our upcoming events, our calendar on our website.
You know, and David, as you're explaining about this with the Essex County Environmental Center, because we have listeners from around the world, well, everyone should realize that there is an environmental center somewhere near you, and it is, like you're speaking about, sometimes there's a little bit of a cost incurred or for a school trip or something like that, but there's many programs that are free, and it gets people out, it gets families out, and gets families, you know, just to spend that quality time being educated. And to me, that's a cool deal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's environmental centers all over. These are great places, opportunities filled with passionate staff that'd be happy to talk with you and help you.
Yeah. So David, here's my question: is how did you come up with the curriculum and the guides that go along with it?
Oh, sure. So I working as a naturalist, I was trying to find programming that helped to connect kids with nature as best as possible. And what I started to realize is, because, like I mentioned earlier, that they're out in the middle of the day, sometimes that means that they may not see deer, they may not see bear, they may not see the charismatic megafauna that they might expect. Sometimes their expectations might be more like they're going to the zoo, where they know they're going to see this and they're going to see that. But when you walk into a forest, you may or may not see any wildlife at all. So what we do find more frequently with higher probability are things like frogs and things like insects. So the first curriculum I wrote was called Hop Into Action, the Amphibian Curriculum Guide. And what the idea there was is that it provides really an educational format for formal educators, school educators, to better educate their students about amphibians and the ecosystem that surrounds amphibians. So it provides active lessons that take these students from spectators to investigators. So the first was all about amphibians, and then the second guide that I wrote was Buzz Into Action, the insect curriculum guide. So again, insects are more easily found than some of these bigger, more charismatic megafauna. So what I wanted to do is provide resources for these formal educators to better teach their kids about the environment. And there's been studies that show that elementary educators, science may not be their most comfortable subject. So by writing these guides, I try to create a format that makes it very easy to teach science in a way that I believe makes kids less, they're no longer passive recipients of knowledge, but they're actively engaged themselves in this hands-on study of the environment.
Well, David, two questions I have then is, so if there are educators, and we have many educators who listen to the show, if they're out there and they would like to purchase these guides, where can they go to get these guides?
Oh, sure. Well, the easiest might be Amazon, but you can also go directly to the National Science Teachers Association press website, and you can buy them in print copy or digital as well.
That's cool, because as an educator, the planning stage of things, but they have correct, and I'll just say this so everyone understands this, there are actual lessons inside those guides that an educator can take a lesson, sort of, so to speak, and this is what educators do, learn that lesson before they can go teach that lesson.
Oh, that's right. Yes, there's, it starts with background information, so it does prepare the teacher, but sometimes in science, you don't have to know it all. It's about the study. It's about learning to study and learn that science. It's funny when I ask kids, well, how do we know this about nature? Sometimes they'll say, well, from a book or from the internet. But I want the kids to learn to be those investigators, to be those scientists, those biologists, those herpetologists or entomologists, and learn to do those studies on their own. So some of these lessons provide that sort of critical thinking that allows those students to think of themselves as those environmental careers.
And it's a great resource great resource for educators. I've looked through them. They're superb, superb guides. And so here's my next little deal. You have canoe trips that go out, and on those canoe trips, which number one are fun, and again, I'll just go back to the family fun, what can they expect to do or see out there?
Oh, yeah. Well, we just had our Labor Day canoe paddle this weekend, and sometimes it's, you know, if you're the first boat, you'll get the best sights out there. So what we try to do is we bill it as a leisurely paddle, and we try to keep everybody together so we can gently paddle. What we do is we generally paddle upriver, and then we're looking on the edges of the river to see painted turtles. There's a tremendous amount of painted turtles basking in the sunshine on the logs, as well as occasional water snakes like the brown water snake. And then there's a tremendous amount of bird life that can be quite exciting. We see great blue herons and egrets close up. We see kingfisher. We see a whole variety of bird life, and often we listen to hear the bird sound as well, which can really provide a peaceful experience out there on the water.
And you know this, the two types of birding: one is birding by sight, one's birding by ear. And many times you'll, for example, there might be a flicker in one of the trees, and you don't see them at all, but you could hear the call. Teach the call, and now people can identify with that call, and they may be walking in their local park going, wow, that's the flicker. And you've just tuned them into a piece of nature that they may never, ever have seen before. Again, they can go digitally and go look it up, or in a Peterson field guide or something of that nature, they can go take a look at it. But you're tuning them in, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's a big role of a naturalist, really, to open up these opportunities or this knowledge to let people know what's out there. You know, somebody might take a walk or take a paddle and miss a lot of what they're walking or paddling by. But with a naturalist to help point these things out, it can really open up a bigger picture to you know, what's around you.
Absolutely. So my last question, but an important one. So what do you have in the works? What's going on in the life of David Alexander?
Well, there's a number of resource guides that I've started to accumulate notes on, but one book in the future that I'd like to put out is really a highlight of some of the biologists, some of the naturalists, some of the folks who, you know, who live in or around my home state of New Jersey that are actively involved in these different research projects. So what I would like to do is create a book about the phenology and phenomena of New Jersey that does highlight the stories of these people and the wildlife that they work with.
And you know what? That's giving credit to people where credit is due. And sometimes we take too long to give people credit. I'm telling you right now, having been in the wild, snowshoe with you, canoe with you, fish with you, kayak with you, all of this, I'm giving you the due credit right now on the international stage here on our show. David, I just want to thank you for taking the time. You know, you do spend time with adults, but you are the man who takes the time to get out there and teach our youth, and our youth, our next generation of naturalists out there. So, David, I'm thanking you personally.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a pleasure.
Well, David, I'm thanking you, and I'm thanking the audience for listening, because it's always a pleasure to be with David Alexander, and it's always a pleasure to be with you. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.